So this morning, I want you to relax. There's some things that I'm going to do, and there's some things that I want you to do. And the things that I'm going to do is, well, I prepared and I'm going to teach you something. And the things that you have to do, you don't have to stand up and say anything, but you have to listen and pay attention and use what I'm going to say. And I've got so many notes here. I feel sorry for you guys, but it's going to be a long day. We probably won't get out by maybe 4. Nah, I'm just talking nonsense. Where shall I start? So today I'm going to talk about thoughts and thinking. And if you can imagine, I've got a table here and I open a toolbox. And this is the toolbox of how to live your Christian life. Because I think what happened to me, I've said it a few times, not sure if you can remember, but I got saved. I became a Christian when I was about 27. So for 27 years, I lived my life according to my feelings, my emotions, and just things that happened to me. So things in life will come, it will happen to me, or I'll be impacted by something that happens in my life at work or family or death or health or whatever that impacts me, that creates a feeling or a thing I'm thinking that creates a feeling in me, and then I make a decision, I act. And for 27 years, I followed that process. Something happens, I think about it, it's not good, no. And then that creates an emotion in me, that creates feelings, and then I act. And it's probably 99%, the way that I act is away from God, is towards my comfort zone, my safety, my. Now, at 27, I realized that, oh my goodness, I was in the army one day, and you've got forms where you have to write it, your name, I'm a Christian, and I got this form, and I got to that question, and I think, I'm going to lie if I say I'm a Christian, because I'm not. You know, so I just wrote, no, I'm not a Christian. But then after that, I realized, and someone explained the gospel to me, and said, look, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell. Jesus came to die on the cross, so he made forgiveness available, but I have to access that forgiveness. And the way I do that is by asking him to forgive my sins. He can do it. And I did it, and I became a Christian. So all of a sudden, things happen in my life. Things come towards me. Work, finances, death in family, relationships, pressures of life. And all of a sudden, there had to be a change. You know, I need to make a change. Because now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And God says, I am in you. And now, I've got a new way to live. Sorry, Sharon, can I just use your Bible quickly? Man, what a preacher. I don't even have a Bible here. But and this is the way we need to live. God says, I've got a way. I've got a solution. I've got... whenever you make a decision or you have to act or a feeling or emotion or anything comes your way, I've got a solution and I've got the answer. You have to find it. And so I had to, you know, follow that process and get into that pattern of saying, when things come towards me, there's now a different way that I need to think. There's now a different way that I need to process information. There's a different way that I need to allow my feelings and my emotions to make me act. I cannot now act like I used like in the last 27 years because that normally pushed me away from God. And there's a new way that God allows me now to think differently. And then, you know, the feelings and the emotions that come is to go a different way. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I've got this toolbox open. So today I want to give you some tools that you can use to live your Christian life and not be overwhelmed by life situations, health, finances, all of those things. So hopefully you will walk out with tools. And the sad thing is there are a lot of Christians who don't even know they've got a toolbox. They don't even know they've got tools that we can use. And so I want to talk about that today. So imagine this, things that blow my mind. Jesus in Matthew, they kill Jesus, they kill him on a cross, they bury him, he's dead. Then God raised him from the dead, he's alive again. And then the disciples meet together in a room. They are so scared because the guys that killed Jesus are also going to maybe come and look for them and kill them as well. So they are very afraid. They are in a room. Jesus comes in. And so imagine everything is locked. Jesus appears and he walks through the wall and he stands with them and says, "Hello, guys." I think they probably fell off their chairs. I mean, yes, he was dead. They saw him, how they crucified him. Jesus is dead. All of a sudden, he's standing next to us. We can see him, and he's talking. We can hear him. And then he says, "Have you got something to eat?" Oh, I love Jesus. He always thinks ahead, you know. What's for dinner? And no, I'm just joking. What's for lunch? And yes, Jesus, he was killed. He was raised from the dead. He appears to his disciples, and he says, "What are you eating? Can I eat with you?" And it just blows my mind. Here is this Jesus. What is he now? Is he now flesh? Is he now human? Is he just a spirit? I don't know. He asked them for food, so he obviously eats. And then he says, "Look, it's really me. I've got holes in my hand where they crucified me. Look, here's in my side where they put a spear in my side. But I can walk through walls. I can appear and disappear as I want. And I can eat physical food." I mean, it just blows my mind. I don't know about you. And late in the Bible, I think Paul is talking about when we go to heaven, we are going to look different. Our bodies are going to be better. We're going to see more colors, smell new smells. We're going to be beefed up, I think. And I think that picture of Jesus is almost a little bit of a picture of what our new bodies will look like. And I think sometimes we think about heaven and what we're going to look like. We probably imagine these spirits floating. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be very cool. It's going to be different. That's for sure. It's going to be different. So what I want to do today is just stretch your thinking a little bit, because we are so caught up in our physical world, in what I can see, what I can hear, what I can experience through all my senses. I'm flesh, you know, I'm living in a physical world. But at the same time, we live in a spiritual world that we cannot always see, we cannot smell, we cannot look at it, we can't hear it, but it is there and it is very, very real. I mean, demons are very real. Devils are very, very real. They were angels that kicked out of heaven. They rebelled, God kicked them out, they're demons, they're ugly. They want to kill you. They want to kill. They want to take people out. Look, the devil cannot do anything to God, but he can get to people. And demons are very real. Angels are very real. Jesus is very real, and he's alive. And his spirit is very, very real. And I think we have to get to know that we don't just live in a physical world. There's a spiritual side as well. Brendan, can you put up that first slide that I've got, please? So, just a little bit of introduction. So, I want to talk about thinking, thoughts, emotions, and what that creates. So, we have to be so careful what we allow ourselves to think about, because it is in our thoughts that we first turn away from God. And thinking is the activity of searching out what is true in light of given facts or assumptions. So what happens is, let me give this example. Adverts. We watch TV and then we see adverts. And people who make adverts know how we are wired. I mean, they study the human brain to see how it works so that you can buy more stuff. That's how it works. So you watch TV, and it's normally at about 7 o'clock. There's a McDonald's or Hungry Jack's ad that pops up on the TV. And man, just imagine this juicy hamburger. Sauce and onion rings, angry onions. And then the chips. It is so nice and hot, you can smell it. And then I look at our mind and I say, that looks so nice. Let's go and get some. You know what? they are so clever. So they figure us out. So, and what do they give us? They are playing with us. So they give us an image, or they give us information, or they give us ideas. And they know we take images, ideas, pictures, information, and we in our minds do something with that. So I get the information about Hungry Jack's on the TV. Oh, Angry Onions, it's so beautiful. I want to go and buy it. So that creates an emotion in me. And that emotion is, oh, I can taste the Angry Onions. You know, it creates an emotion in me. I'm making this very, very simple because it is very simple, but the devil uses this to get us in other areas as well. So that creates an emotion in me. Later on, Armand's lying on the floor. He's crying, Dad, please, let's go to Hungry Jack's. It's emotion in there. And that creates emotion. And that emotion leads us to act. I reach for my car keys. I go to my ute. I get in and we drive to Hungry Jack's. It leads to an action. So we get bombarded by ideas, images, information. We process that. And the way we process it, we think about it. That sounds nice. Oh, that's, yeah, I can do that. That leads to an emotion, and the emotion drives an action. But that's now just a food advert. But let's say cars. We've got Ford people here, or Holden people, or Toyota people. Let's talk about cars. Then you see advert. Man, the new Ford Ranger. Oh, it looks good. You're talking about the car this morning. And I think, man, that looks... I think I must go and get one of those, you know? So, and they've got this beautiful advert. If you drive this car, it's going to change your world. So that could create emotion in you. Man, four-wheel drive, big tires, good sound system, creates emotion. They want you to go and act. They want you to go and pick up your keys, drive to the place, and buy a new one. That's what they want. So let's talk about sin. Let's talk about sin. And we all sin. So let's make it easy. I sin, you sin, we all sin. So let's say this. And there's actually an example of this in the Bible. David, he's a lovely man. God loves him. He's a king. He stays home the one day, looks out his window, and he sees a lady taking a bath. Now he sees this naked lady. He's thinking about that. Oh, it creates emotion in him. What must I do? It creates emotion. It stirs him a little bit. And then he acts. And the way he acts, he gets the lady over. And says, and she's married, by the way. That's adultery. She gets a baby. Says, oh, my goodness, I have to make a plan. Invites her husband, organized for his husband to get killed. What happened? He saw an image, made him think, created an emotion, and it led him to act in a certain way, away from God, away from the things of God. Do you see where I'm going? So that's just the way we are wired. Is there anything wrong with thinking emotions? No, that's how God wired us. God made us that we can think, that we have emotions, that we've got thoughts, and to make decisions. And that is where it starts. So for my first 27 years, I went through that whole process without God in my life, without the Bible. And when you become a Christian, things change because now God wants to change things. So the information we get, the images we get, the information that we get, we have to do something different with that. Otherwise, we're going to act away from God. It's very simple. It is very simple. Can you put the next slide up, Brendan? And so I lost words in the process of transferring my slides to the laptop, but I'll explain the picture. So, and I've spoke about that at a home group the other night. So you see the glass bowl. So imagine there's a table with a glass bowl, and that represents our thoughts, our thought life. And the arrows is feeding into our thought life. And those three things that I spoke about, images, information, and ideas, feed into our thought life. So we think, we just live our lives, things come at us, we take everything in, we just take in everything, and then we act. And we turn around and say, my goodness, why did I act in that way? I don't want to act like that. I wanted to act different. In Romans 7, Paul says, why do I do the things that I hate? And the things that I want to do, I don't do that. That's exactly what happens. I live my life. I get bombarded by images, information, ideas, pictures, adverts, blah, blah, blah. Facebook, Snapchat, social media, news. I'm just getting bombarded by stuff. And then I act in a way. And then I look around and I think, my goodness, why did I act in that way? I wanted to act different. Because we are feeding our thought life. And it starts there. In the previous clip where it says, we first turn away from God in our thoughts. Absolutely true. You can think about your life. And I had now a couple of weeks to think about this. But think about this. Whenever you want to sin, whenever you want to do something wrong, it starts with a thought. That's where it starts. It starts with a thought. And it is crucial that as Christians, we take out the toolbox and we say, God, there's a different way to deal with this thought. Let me see what you are saying. Can you have the next slide, Brendan? The next one. There's my picture, and I lost more words, but it's okay. It's a bit better. So ideas, images, information, and then I've got to sift them. And so what we have to do, can you see, Daniel? Can you see that? Okay. So it's ideas, images, information, and they feed into our thought life. But now that we get saved, there's a sift that comes. And we can sift those things through God and God's Word. And so images, ideas, thought, information, we can sift that through God's Word. And what does God say about a specific thing that we're going through, situation in life, a picture, a temptation, whatever it is, we can now bring God's Word in there. But is that going to happen by itself? So now we get saved and God inserts the sift into our thinking. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. Yeah, we have to put the sift there. We have to put the sift there. That is our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Let me just read Hebrews 2 for us. It says, 2:1, for this reason we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard, so that we do not in any way drift away from the truth. So when we get together here, we hear something, we get information, we get images, we get ideas, but we have to do something with that. We have to put that in practice. We have to make it ours. We need to own the information that we get. Otherwise, it is just going to go in the one ear and out the other one. So if you look at that, ideas, images, and information feeds into our thought life. So if there's anything that you remember from this morning, just remember this, is that it's in our thoughts that we start to turn away from God first. And we have to take good care of our thought life. We cannot allow the world and stuff to bombard us and we just accept it. So you have to go away today and look at your life in a whole and say, God, what are the things that's bombarding me at the moment that's causing me to act in a way that I don't want to act? Just spend time with God. Spend time with your partner, with your spouse, with your family. Look at your life in a whole and say, what are the things that's bombarding my thinking? What am I allowing to drip feed into my thought life? And it's very easy. If you think of a few things and you think, is this now pushing me away from God or is this bringing me closer to God? That is the basic rule that you can use. It's very easy. So whatever comes up, I'll give you an example. So I can do this. I know them, Sheila and Jeremy. It's time to go to church. And Jeremy just can't open his eyes. I mean, he is snoring. Mackenzie, the black Labrador, is lying also there. She's snoring as well. And Sheila says, come on, Jeremy, we have to go to church. There's images and information that's waiting that you need to be feeding your thought life. And Jeremy says, no, I want to sleep. I'm tired. And then Sheila pushed him out of the bed. Come on, Jeremy, you must do it. You must go to church. And you know what? We get bombarded by emotions. And then we have to take those emotions and we have to do something with it. So God, this emotion that I've got is very sleepy. Or it wants, wants me to sin. Or it wants me to eat. Or it wants me to swear. Or it wants me to get angry. Let me not do that. Let me do the right thing. But like I said, that sift doesn't happen automatically. We have to do some work to get that sift there. Before I talk about how we do that, how do we insert that sift into our thought life, let me talk about this. Bad news at work. So when was it? Say, let's say 8 years ago, I was working in Cape Town, and 6 months before that, I had a choice in what type of product I want to sell in the company. And I chose a specific line that I want to do. And it was lovely. I enjoyed it. It went well. And all of a sudden, the exchange rate went just downhill. And the company decided to stop importing that product. And they said, oops, now you're out of work because we're not going to sell that product anymore. And I said, oh my goodness, we are planning to move to Australia in a year. What am I doing now for a year? You know, so that's a big problem. So I can go this way. And I can, and Mark was in the newsletter talking about get a T-junction in life, you can go left or right. So I was thinking, what did I do? How can I be so stupid in choosing this product? And look what's happening now. I'm a failure. I'm not good enough. Now I'm losing my job. We have to move to a different country. I can go that route. Or I can go the other way and say, wow, God, are you maybe changing something here? The plan's busy changing. And miraculously, they gave me a bigger payout than I was or thought I will get. And that's the money that we used to get here. So instead of going to Australia in a year's time, we moved and packed in a month. You know, I could have left there and say, oh my goodness, I'm not good enough. You know, all these things. But actually, if I take a step back and look at God's hand, God wanted us to make a change and take a different direction. And He used this to help us to bring that. So any situation that comes to you at work, pressures, whatever, the world will tell you that you are not good enough, that you are a failure. But God says this, that you are loved, that He's well pleased with you. And His Son, when He looks at you, He can see His Son and the beauty of His Son. And that you are well made because He made you. Don't let the world and stuff pull you down. Take a step back from a situation and go, there's a situation. That's busy what's happening. Now, let's say at work, you're getting information about bad news maybe. And there's lots of people who lost their work. I was one of them. So we can take that situation, we get information, that's feeding into our thought life, that will lead to emotion. Man, I'm getting depressed, or I'm getting sad, this is getting to me. And I act out, and the way I act out is I don't want to be around people, I don't feel like talking to anyone, I'm just sad, and life is bad. And what happens is I stop ministering to people. I cannot even pray for someone because I can just think of my own bad situation. I don't want to go to home group. I don't even want to come to church. And that is how the devil gets us. And so what we have to do is take a step back, think, oh my goodness, what's feeding into my thoughts? Take that to God. Say, God, these are the facts. This is the information that I'm getting. What must I do with that? And let God speak to you. Health. What the future holds can scare us. I'm afraid. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure what's going to happen with my finances, my marriage, my job. You can just mention all the things. What's going to happen? I've lost my notes. This is a big one. I think this is the one that gets us. Busy, overwhelmed life. A busy and overwhelmed life. Man, if you've got kids, you are busy. I can imagine, just looking at Mac. So if you've got kids, there's things that happen. They need to eat, they need to get clothes, they need to bath, they need to go to sport, they need to do. There's always a massive list when you've got kids, and even without kids, there's social media that you have to keep busy on. There's Facebook that you have to post and read and scroll and look at videos, and there's stuff that you have to do. And so, you know what? Busyness will crowd out God. Devil is very clever. Makes you busy? There's no time for God. There's no time for church. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm tired. There's no time for home group prayer meetings. Nothing. Busyness crowds God out. And that's where the sift comes in. Because we have to be so busy with God that God's crowd the other stuff out. Just swap it. And you might sit here and think, oh, that's a bit extreme. You have to be overwhelmed by God. You have to be busy with God and the things of God. Otherwise, there's other things that will take your time. And so Jeremy at the last prayer meeting, he had this picture of kill or be killed. And I can say today that this is not a light thing that we're talking about. We're talking about emotions and thoughts, and it sounds so easy. But I can tell you that the devil is out to kill us. He wants to rip you away from church. He wants to rip you away from God. He wants to isolate you, let you be alone, and he wants to take you down. And that word that Jeremy had in the prayer meeting was absolutely spot on, I think. You have to be so aggressive to change this. There's no easy way. You have to be aggressive. Kill it before it kills you. The Christian life, we cannot live and live our life in a 10%. I'm going to give 10% to this Christian life thing. The devil is going to absolutely annihilate you. He's going to smash you to pieces. So the only thing is say, man, he's going for, we're not just going to be a driver in the army. We're going to be in the special forces. That's the only way. We have to absolutely consume by God, his word, the things of God, to crowd out all the other stuff. Otherwise, we are not going to make it. He's going to take you down. Can we expect a healthy mind, emotions, and feelings if we feed our thoughts with rubbish and lies from the devil? It's impossible. If we feed lies and rubbish, if we allow that to feed into our thought life, the outcome is going to be absolutely horrendous. And we cannot be surprised when that happens. So I want to ask you this. Make a decision today to think about your things that's impacting your thought life, because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. The devil wants you to be depressed. He wants you to feel sad. Let's change that. Let me just read this quickly. We have to feed our thoughts with healthy images, information, and ideas. Feeding, and here I'm starting to talk about how we move that sieve in, just above that bowl, how we use God's word and other things to as a tool to process the thoughts and the thinking that's coming our way. So let me just read this. Feeding on God's word. The reason you can proclaim the word is because you have stored it up within you. It is the background noise of your life. When the trials come, you can just turn up the volume. How beautiful is that? So you immerse yourself so in the Bible, in God's word, that when pressures of life come, you just turn the volume of God up. Can't hear all the other rubbish. How beautiful is that? I love that picture. Just turn up the volume of God. Devotionally master the word of God for your soul. Immerse yourself in the book. Love it and live it. That's the only way. I mean, Christianity cannot be a 99.9% thing. God wants all of you, 100%. There's no other way. If you do less than that, you're going to waste your time. And I wasted 12 years sitting in a dead church, not being saved. And I just wasted my life. So there are churches that's dead. Hopefully we're not one of them. I don't think so. So, have you decided to keep God a constant presence in your mind? And he gave us tools to do it. Let me start with spiritual disciplines. And if you don't know spiritual disciplines, let me give you a definition quickly. The effort to create space in which God can act. To prevent your life from becoming too busy and full to create space for something important to happen. So let me talk about, this is going to be very quickly, spiritual disciplines. So the busyness of life, things just happen and life just happens. We have to take control of life. So spiritual disciplines are tools and things that God gives us to hear Him and to make time to take in His Word. So, for instance, a regular time of reading your Bible, and not just reading. Before you read the Bible, go to the Bible and say, God, I want you to speak to me. Read slowly and make notes in Scriptures. What is God saying? Take it in. Meditate on it. Memorize Scripture. So when that pressure comes, you just turn up the volume. And God, what God will do, the Holy Spirit will pop up Scriptures in your mind. When something happens, and I know what this is. Thank you, God. And you carry on. The aim of spiritual disciplines in life is the transformation of the whole person from the inside out. You cannot keep the law by trying not to break the law. Think about that. You cannot, let's say if you think about the Ten Commandments, all the laws, don't do this, don't do this, don't kill, don't lie, don't, you know, all those laws. And that you cannot keep the law by trying not to break the law. So I cannot live my life and say, oh, I must not sin, I must not sin, I must not tell lies, I must not tell lies. That is ridiculous. But if we do that, we are going to break it. And so what we want to do, spiritual disciplines, take time alone with God. Isolate yourself. Switch the TV off, switch your phone off. Take time with God. Read His Word, meditate on it, think about it. And let that birth something in you. Let God work in you. Scripture. Feed your mind with Scripture. Make them permanent. Make them permanent. I'm not going to do it now. We haven't got a lot of time left. But I just, a while ago, I did a quick exercise with us as a family. And I just looked at a few scriptures, what God says about thinking and meditation. Let me just maybe read a couple. Psalm 1. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, that person, a person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. God is pleased with a person like that. Psalm 19. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in Your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God looks at our thoughts. He looks at what we think about and what we meditate on. Psalm 104, may my meditation be pleasing to Him as I rejoice in the Lord. And I will sing Psalm 104 again. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. May my thoughts please Him. I am happy in the Lord. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. But you must be strong and brave about obeying the commands my servant Moses gave you. If you follow this teaching exactly, you will be successful in everything you do. Always remember what is written in that book of law. Speak about that book. Study it day and night. Then you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything you do. I mean, it's clear. God, He cares about what we think. He cares what we meditate on. And He wants us to put Him first. He wants us there. Let me read from the Message quickly. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of revelation be out of mind. Ponder, meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. So we've got spiritual disciplines. And you know what? Go and buy books about it. Dallas Willard is an amazing man who wrote books on spiritual disciplines. How to take time with God. How to grow. How to feed yourself. How to feed that thought life. Spiritual disciplines, study the Word. Get into the Bible. Get to know God through your Bible. Images, music. Armand, a while ago, gave me a photo of a girl that was 8 years old who painted a picture of Jesus' face, and it was stunning. It looked like a photo almost. She was 8 years old, had a dream about Jesus, and started to paint this picture. I put it on my phone at my home screen as a background thing, And it was amazing. I didn't even think anything of it. But every time I answer my phone, Jesus is looking at me. I'm like, oh, hello, Jesus. And then I, you know, I'm making a joke of this. But every, you know, for a while, every time I look at my phone, I was like, oh, Jesus. And then I, you know, just a constant reminder. And it's a silly example, but you know what? Have images or something that remind you of Jesus. Bracelets. I love people wearing bracelets. Says, what would Jesus do, you know? And things like that. Music. What we did this morning. Music draws us closer to God. And God speaks through music. And then a big one. Other Christians. Because when pressures come, pressure in life and finances and relationships and stuff, the devil wants to, as I said, he wants to isolate you, and then he wants to nail you. So the last thing you want to, you feel like doing is be with other Christians, and that's exactly the opposite you want to do. So when we meet together, and as a church, we create times and spaces for you to get images, information, and ideas. We create space for you to feed your thought life. Today is one of those times where we create opportunity for people to come in and say, we want to feed your thought life, we want to feed your spiritual life. Come and listen to music, come and sing, come and worship, listen to scripture, get information. That is a sieve. That is one of those things. So we create a space like this. Use it. We create times when we pray together. Use it. Use the times that we create. Otherwise, the busyness of life will choop, sweep all of the things out of the door. And I loved, not this last Friday, the one before, we had a prayer meeting. It was beautiful. God spoke to people. God did amazing things. So that if we step away and we decide not to go to that, we miss out. We miss out. Sundays, prayer meetings, home groups. When we meet together during the week. Opportunity to bring information, the right information into situations. If you miss home groups, you miss out. If you miss prayer meetings, you miss out. Look, we are not like a sergeant major standing and, oh, you have to do this and this is how you live your life. But you know what? We have to be clever because we've got a toolbox. And in this toolbox, God gives us things that we can use to grow in our Christian life. So we don't make time like this because we have to tick the box. Yeah, I went to church, I feel better. Went to a home group, tick the box, I did my duty. No, these are times where God can move, where we can hear the Holy Spirit, where we get energized and we get power from God and we hear from Him. Use those things. I want to finish with this. It's in our thoughts that we first turn away from God. And you'll be amazed if you remember this, how true that is. I mean, in this week that's coming, you're going to be tempted to sin. I can guarantee you that. You're going to be tempted to be angry. You're going to get tempted to say the wrong things, do the wrong things, and it all starts with a thought. You see an image, you get information, you get an idea, it creates a thought in you, you want to act it out. Think about it. And it's going to be, I lived it for the last 2 weeks. I think I got a thought, oh, I'm turning away from God. Immediately I'm coming back to God. It is just like a switch. It's in your thoughts that we first turn away from God. Take care of your thoughts. Don't let the world just and your life just happen. Don't let your life just happen. Plan what you put into your, what you feed into your thought life. Don't feed your thoughts with rubbish and expect a fruitful, godly life. Don't let a bad thought rule your thought life. Take it to God. If you've got an emotion, take that to God. And don't let feelings or emotions rule and run your life. I mean, we are all at some stage feeling tired or overwhelmed. Normal. Just like, God, I'm feeling tired and overwhelmed. Help me through it. I know what's the right thing to do. Let me just do it. You know, just know it. And I want to finish off with this, with a video clip. And I've played it before, but I want to say something different about this video clip now. So if you can you get that on, Brendan? So you will know it when you see it. And if you can get the, Have you got the volume? Just have a look at this.
He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him.
That's my name. Sure. Every time I look at that video clip, it just stirs me up. How cool is that? Sure. And you know what, is just preparing for this, that's an image, there's information in there, there's a sound in there, there's an idea, there's ideas in there, and we can use, I mean, not all video clips are bad in YouTube, there's some good ones, but you know what, we can use things like this to draw us closer, to stretch our imagination of who Jesus is, of what he is like, of his love, of his forgiveness, of his power that's available. And so I want to leave you with that and just remind you of who Jesus is. That his love is limitless, that he's good. Let me pray for us. And if you feel that you need us to pray with you afterwards, please come to the front. We'll pray for you. But let's pray. I want to thank you, Jesus. You are very, very real. I want to thank you that as we looked at that video clip, the images, the information, the sound stirs our hearts. And I want to thank you, Jesus, that your love is limitless. Your love is limitless. And you are a friend to sinners. You're not a religious freak that dress funny and do say weird things. But you are close to everyone. And you've got mercy and there's forgiveness and compassion. There's just nothing, Jesus, that can get to you. And I want to thank you that you are here today. We cannot see you, but because you are spiritual, but we know your Holy Spirit is right here today. And I want to pray that you will touch people and that you will give them, Holy Spirit, what each person needs. If it is a word of forgiveness, if it is a word of love, I love you, my love is limitless, my love is never ending. I want to pray that you will hear that this morning, that Jesus is saying that his love towards you is limitless, that his forgiveness is limitless, that his mercy is limitless, his compassion is limitless. There is no limit to Jesus' love and his forgiveness. And I want to pray, Jesus, that you'll do that today, that you will bring whatever needs to be brought in every person here today. If it's courage, I pray that you'll pour your courage into the hearts of people who need your courage. And I want to pray, Lord God, if you need healing, that you will right now come, Jesus, and heal bodies as we speak. Whatever you need today, turn to Jesus. I want to pray that you'll bless every person here. And as we go away here, God, and we put into practice the things that we've heard, that we don't just accept life, and life just doesn't happen, but that we'll take a step back and take control over what is feeding our thought life, what is feeding our life. And I want to pray that you will crush the plans of the enemy and the devil who wants to distract people, who wants to take their courage away, who wants to isolate them, and rule them. Let their feelings and emotions rule them. I pray that, Jesus, you would destroy that and crush that work that the devil is doing today, right now. Do that, God. Do that, God. I just had this picture of these thoughts and experiences that happened in the past that's almost like a chain holding people. I want to pray now, God, that if there's any thoughts or something that happened in the past and the devil's holding you like a chain, I want to pray that you will reach out to Jesus today and let him break that chain. And if you don't know Jesus, you can just pray this in your heart with me. If you don't know, if you want a relationship with Jesus, you can pray after me. Jesus, I want to thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I want to thank you for your limitless love towards me. And today, I choose to access your forgiveness. And I ask that you will forgive all my sins, that you wipe it out. Wipe it out. And I am turning to you today. And I ask you that you'll be my Lord and my Savior today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can trust in you, that I can lean on you. Thank you that you make me a son, that you bring me into the kingdom of light, and I become a child of God in an instant. I want to thank you for that, Jesus. I want to thank you for that. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for your forgiveness towards me, how you smile over us. Thank you, thank you. I pray, Lord God, that we'll feel that, the smile of Jesus over our lives. Jesus knows us. He knows how we work. He knows how we operate. He knows our thinking and our emotions. And I pray, God, that we'll be a clever church that opens a toolbox and use the tools that you've given us, that we won't let our emotions and thoughts and stuff rule us, but that we'll let you rule us, Lord God. Do that, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.